So following that great line of our Father in heaven, hallowed, or our Father in heaven, you're going to get four petitions. One we talked about last week, that his name might be hallowed. And the second one is about the will of God. And so as I thought about that phrase, and I'm going to be honest, I'm indebted greatly to a book on the Lord's Prayer by a man by the name of Dr. Lockman that has really encouraged me to preach this series. But when I think of the kingdom of heaven, I think of the reign of God. Okay, we live in the high desert, right? And often one of the prayer requests is that it might rain. You think about all the moisture we had. We got in one gigantic snowstorm, basically. And it snowed 8, 9, 10 inches in some of our houses, and that's all we had for a long time. And so we would like it to rain. My friend who runs a ranch, he'd like it to rain, right? You want it to rain. Our farmers want it to rain. But when I think of the reign of God, I don't think of rain coming from heaven. Well, actually, I do. It's one thing for us to get rain from clouds. I want us to get rain from heaven. And so when I think of this phrase, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, I start to think that one of the whole points of prayer is for God to reign. And so I want us to wrestle with that just a little bit this morning. Okay, there's that phrase, your kingdom come. Jesus is speaking pre-Pentecost. You get to Acts chapter 2, and the kingdom is going to come, at least to some degree, within the church. And we're going to get this understanding, as Jesus would preach many parables about the coming kingdom, that all of those things are answered within the growth and the explosion of the church through the book of Acts. And so in many ways, God's kingdom has come. Now, there's some future stuff. There's the kingdom of heaven that one day we're all going to be a part of. At least I hope all of us will be a part of. And so there's this here, and some of it's not yet. But I still want to pray that the kingdom come. And I want to pray for it for a couple of reasons. Before we get to those reasons, though, he's going to use that phrase, on earth as it is in heaven. So I think what I want to do to frame my mind is I want to have the reign of God being pursued by me like I think the reign of God is pursued by angels. Now here's how I think angels pursue the reign of God. God's will done in heaven, I think it is done completely. Again, I'm just going to speak for what I think. I can't give you too much biblical proof of this, but I think the angels who are in heaven who are doing what God says do it completely. My guess is they don't argue with God. There's not some deep theological debate that goes on around a table. It's when God says do something, they do it. I think it's done immediately. And I'm guessing it's probably done joyfully. So we've got the will being done in heaven. We want that same will being done on earth. So let me address at least one of what I think is our biggest problems. Is I think we do two things. One, we confuse our will with his will. And two, we ask for too little. Okay, when all of our floods came, I had a sweet, sweet little lady that I would visit who said, I've been praying for rain, and I kept praying for rain, and even when it started to rain, I kept praying for rain, and it's my fault that we wiped out half of our town. I proceeded to tell her it really wasn't her fault that wasn't half of our town. It was, you know, just a little bit of our town got hit really hard. But she thought I was asking for big stuff, and God sent big stuff. How often do we ask for the little? How often, instead of asking for things, and again, I think you put it into the will of God, but for asking for little things, instead of looking to a God who can do immeasurably abundantly beyond all that we ask or imagine. See, kingdom prayer is not just lining up my will with his will, but it's also asking for more than we can comprehend. I love what John says. In 1 John chapter 5, he writes this. He says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Okay, I love that verse. And I think that verse goes hand in hand with what is going on within the Lord's Prayer. Is John is saying much of the same thing as Jesus is saying, that we should ask and make sure it's lined up the right way. But we should ask, and our asks should be much bigger than we do. See, because the reign of God is something that we ought to be asking for. And ultimately, the reign of God is a choice that each of us make. If I want his kingdom to come, and if I'm praying it in this petition kind of way, if I want his kingdom to come, it is a choice that I've got to make. Now, his kingdom has already come in the church, but what I've got to figure out is, how do I make that choice personal? How do I decide that his kingdom come and his will be done in my own individual life? And so I think Jesus says, ask for the kingdom to come. Okay, there's a day coming when every knee will bow. I am convinced, not only from Scripture, but I'm just convinced when I see the second coming in my head, that when Jesus comes down in the clouds, and as he's coming down, I don't care if you believe in him or not, I think we're all going to be face first in the dirt, because we're going to know who that is. And even if we're not going to church, and even if we're not part of the body of Christ, I think we're going to know that is Messiah, that is Son of God, and the end of the world is at hand, and every knee is going to bow. But I think what Jesus is calling for now is for us to let his reign come here, and in me. See, right now, the king chooses to come only to those who've accepted his invitation. So the reign of God is going to come in our lives when we make that step and when we make that move to say, I want kingdom in my life. I want the reign of God. I want to be dominated by his will and not mine. So what are we meaning when we pray for thy will to be done and for thy kingdom to come? I think we are praying first for God's rule to enter our hearts, because that's where it starts. We want God to expand his rule, not in the territory of land, but in the territory of our hearts. Okay, if you've got kids, you're gonna know what you gotta do to go somewhere nowadays. You know, it used to be that you could get two connecting hotel rooms, you know, with that door, and you could put all the kids in one room, and you could be in the other room, and you could go on vacation. Now you get what's called an Airbnb. So anybody who has children, and maybe a lot of us who maybe don't have children, have stayed in an Airbnb, and you go in and you get most of the house, right? Every time there is at least a closet. Now, the first thing I do in an Airbnb is I find out how fast the internet is, so I can keep up with all the going on here at church. And the second thing is I try every door. And the door that is locked, I instantly think, I wonder what is behind there. What are they hiding from all their Airbnb customers? And usually there's a closet locked, and usually there's a room locked. Okay, if I am praying for God's rule to enter my heart first, then all things need to be unlocked. And there is not a door to my heart that God is not welcome. Okay, let me use Romans 6, and then I want us to talk about this just a little more. Do not offer any parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. Too many Christians have got a door that's locked. And we're all for the reign of God. And we're all for church. And we're all for heaven to come. And we're all for Jesus and the resurrection and forgiveness. But there is a part that we have closed off. And usually it's because we're hiding something. I want us to be careful, because if I'm praying for God's kingdom to come, the first place it's going to come, if it's already come through the church, the next thing we need to see is it's got to start ruling here. And I want God's will to be done in the hearts of all of those who are looking for his rule. And not only do I want it done in all of those hearts, I want every door unlocked so he can go in. And I think that matters. I think we've come to a world where we've got our little secret sins and we've got the things we don't want to let go of, and maybe it's our anger, or maybe it's our lust, or maybe it's our greed, or maybe it's our pride, or maybe it's one of half a dozen other things that we might be able to list, and we will say, I'm going to hold on to these things, and God can have everything else. God can have me on Sunday morning, and I'll be a good employee on Monday, and I'll love my wife and kids, but I'm holding, and we've got it behind a locked door. And if we want God's reign to truly come and God's will to be done, it's got to start here. Okay, the second place I think it goes is we want God's will to engage history. This prayer is interesting. In some ways, this prayer of God's kingdom to come is saying, we want your kingdom to go everywhere. We want it to engage history. David writes this in Psalm 68, verse 1. He says, may God arise, may his enemies be scattered, and may his foes flee before him. And just think about that line. Again, Dave, that's an interesting psalm, so read all of it. We're just reading one verse from it. But he says, may God arise. And in the midst of the arising of God, may everything else be taken care of. Those things that are against. See, we've got to rebel against the things that are. And there are some things that are in our world. There are some things going on in our world that I believe we got to rebel against. And there are things going on that are affecting our families, and they're affecting our kids, and they're affecting how we live our everyday lives. And in the midst of that, we've got to understand that we want God's will to engage history. And so we pray about it. Okay, I pray every single day for a world that's messed up. Right? I mean, just go watch the news for 10 minutes and see a world messed up. And not only do I pray every day for a world that is messed up, I pray every day for a state that's messed up. And I pray every day for a little town in the middle of that state called Roswell that's messed up. And I pray every day for a little neighborhood called Enchanted Hills that's messed up. And you don't want to know a secret? I pray every day for all of you because you're messed up too. Little place called Country Club Road. And if I want God's will to be done on earth as is in heaven, it's got to start with me, but then I want it to engage everything else because I want what we have to go all over the place. I want what we have in Christ, the understanding of forgiveness and love and mercy and all of those blessings that have been heaped on us in a way that we can't even comprehend sometimes. I want that to permeate a world that is desperate for it. I want it to permeate me, then I want it to permeate outside of me. But the third thing is I think when we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, we are making a call to enact heaven. Okay, one of my favorite phrases, so you've heard me use this before, is I think Christians ought to pray in the future tense. We ought to be looking to what's on the horizon, what's next in our lives. And I've just now started doing this. And I had my reasons why I didn't, and those might have been wrong. I'll give you those in a second. But I've started praying for an end to history as we know it. Because I'm tired. I'm not tired because I'm sleepy. I'm tired of brokenness. I'm tired of picking up a newspaper and hearing of accidents in our town that have claimed the lives of children. I'm tired of turning on the news and of hearing of war in the Middle East that is taking innocent lives that need to hear the word of Jesus. And I'm tired of funerals. I'm tired of cancer. I'm tired of marriages and children that are rebelling. And I'm tired of all those moments where sin has knocked us down and we're face first in the dirt and we're trying to figure a way out of that. I'm tired of all those moments. And so I want God to enact heaven. I haven't always prayed that prayer. Probably for selfish reasons. I didn't pray that prayer because wanted to see a kid graduate from high school. I didn't want to pray that prayer because I wanted to see a kid get married. I don't pray that prayer sometimes because I want to go on a retirement trip where Nikki takes me all over the state of Texas and we eat barbecue. That's what I really want. But I need to pray that prayer. Because as wonderful as a graduation and a wedding and a retirement trip might be, I need God to enact heaven and fix everything that's wrong. And so far too often, I don't see the end of the journey. I don't see the end of what's going on in our world. I don't see how God is going to fix everything and make everything right, and how when that day comes, there's going to be a whole lot of knees that bow. But one of the things I want to know more than anything else is when my knee is bowed, that it is with him and it's right with him. And that I want his kingdom to come. So I've started praying a little line that appears twice in the New Testament. At the end of 1 Corinthians, Paul will say, "Lord Jesus, come." And then at the very end of Revelation, John will write, "Lord Jesus, come." And I want him to do it soon. I want him to do it because there's got to be something better than this. Okay, for some of us, life here is pretty great. Life here is all that we want it to be, and we've got everything we need and maybe more, but it doesn't take long to just look outside that box and see that the world is not what God wants it to be. So I start with trying to align my will with his will. Okay, that is not the easiest thing, and you know it, right? What I find consolation in is Jesus struggled with that. And I don't know if he struggled with it on the same level that I struggle with it, but he struggled with it just enough in the garden where he has got to pray, "Thy will be done." And remember how he prefaces that? He's going to start with saying, "Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me, but not as I will, but as you will." Okay, what Jesus is going through with facing the cross is far greater than a lot of the stuff we're going to go through in trying to align our will with the will of God. But if the Savior of the earth could give that prayer, then maybe we should be doing it too. So I hope you will start praying that your will aligns with his will. Or maybe let's put it a different way, and this is from the book I've been reading. Let's start with, "Lord, help me to want what you want." Okay, hear that again. "Help me to want what you want." Those things are not always in agreement. And sometimes in our desire to live our life to its biggest and best potential, we see it as it's going to be this and this and this and this. And God may see it totally different. "Help me to want what you want." I think there's a beautiful ending to the story of when we want what he wants. Okay, we've alluded to it already. If we want God to enact heaven, here's what I see. I see Christ coming down on the clouds, and I really hope I'm alive because I want to witness it firsthand. I don't want to just be resurrected and put back together. See Christ coming down in the clouds. And I think my instant response is going to be, "Man, I'm a mess and I'm a sinner." And I hope my second response is, "But I'm forgiven." And I think it's going to be a moment of praise. And it's going to be a moment of looking back. And we can all do that, right? We can all look back at a whole lifespan. And we can do it almost in the blink of an eye. And we're going to look back and say, "Here is what God has done. And here is how God has led me from A to B to C. And how I messed up B and C. But yet he worked around that. And he forgave when I messed it up. And he still had a route for me to get to him. And in the route to get to him, it ends with my knee bowed, ready to go what comes next." That's asking for God's kingdom to come. It's asking for God's kingdom to come in you first. Because the only way it's going to get out into the world is it's going to do it through his kingdom that's called the church, that is made up of all of us that have asked for his kingdom to come rule here. And I think the end of that story can be amazing. So I hope we'll let it. I hope we'll let God take over the house. So let's pray for God to do that. Following that prayer, we're going to sing. And if you've got a need, find an elder in this room. Find me in this room. Find one of us at the doors as you leave. Find somebody that you know to pray over you. But let's let God's rule reign in our hearts. So let's pray, and then let's sing.